space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the US.
Hang on, hold on. What are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm doing the intro.
No, I do the intro.
Well, I'm doing it this time.
No, I do the bloody intros.
Your intro is shit.
No, it's not shit. Anyway, I'm doing the durs.
Right, no, look, I've got things about it. The durs are shit as well. And anyway, we all know it needs to be dums. Dums.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Dickhead. Right. Ba, 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 ba.
So, we won't get in trouble for this?
As long as we don't get caught, sure.
Oh, that's reassuring. And Ensign Socks is okay with it.
Stop worrying, I told you. Summer does this for me all the time. Right, we're here.
Come in.
Hello, mate.
Lads, how's it going?
Been better. Rob's told you what we need, right?
He said something about editing your medical records to increase your penis size by 30 centimetres.
You what?
Just kidding. Well, not exactly. Just that he needed something on your work history changing.
Yes, please, dude, for both of us. There was a little, incident?
Accident. There was an accident. We don't want it linked to us.
Sure, no probs. Give me 2 secs. Cargo Bay 2, was it?
That's the one.
That shit show was you? Fucking idiots. What are you doing transporting symbiogenetic alien orchids around? You mentally disabled or something?
Slight oversight.
Damn right it was, you bloody twats. Lieutenant J is going to pull your fucking cocks off for this one.
We know.
And that's why you've come to little old me, eh? I can do this for you. For a price.
The usual?
Anything new?
I've got the new starter Temerian 6, The Undiscovered Country.
God, stop trying to palm me off with your bloody Temerian porn, you little deviant.
Not this again.
What?
It's the nightmares, Rob.
God, the nightmares.
Whatever. Well, I've managed to get the updated catalogue of Riker's personal holodeck suite.
You still have access?
Mate, he changed his password from Riker 1 to Riker 2. The bloke's a muppet.
Okay, deal.
Perfect.
AI revolution mean anything to you, Tom?
Oh, fuck yeah. I forgot all about that.
No worries. I'll get that moved as well.
Moved?
Yeah, moved.
What do you mean moved? I thought you just deleted them.
Delete them? No, the system knows they've happened. I can't undo that. But what I can do is a little bit of dicking around and relocate them.
So you relocate them onto other people? Surely you share them across a few different ones.
Share them? Fuck no. I plonked them all on Ensign Court.
Dude!
What? It's hilarious. He's already up to 87 accord violations in the last month alone.
That's going to be why he's always on the holodeck waste disposal cycle then, isn't it?
Yeah, more than likely. And I'm done. Easy peasy.
Wicked, mate. Cheers for that. I'll transfer you the share to your datapad later.
Right. Great. We best be off then.
Well, not so fast, chaps.
What's up?
Surely you don't have to run off just yet. I've got something I want to go through with you.
We have a data compliance briefing with Lieutenant Apoc.
Sounds boring.
Yep, and if someone would stop going on about star dates in their log files, we wouldn't have to go.
Look, it's not my fault the system is a load of bollocks. Star dates, it means nothing.
Come on, guys. I just want to run this little small thing by you, and then you can be off. It'll only take a second.
It's not another one of your stupid multi-dimensional theories, is it?
Well, my theories aren't stupid. You just lack the capacity to understand them.
That's accurate.
Dickhead.
Ensign Tom and Ensign Rob, please attend Deck 9, Sector 3 immediately.
Ugh, what now?
Sorry, mate, we need to go. Thanks for your help, though.
Oh, boys. Theories.
You'll know soon enough. But for now, how about we play a little game?
Here we are again, doing the shit jobs.
Yeah, pretty much.
This has got to be up there with one of the worst things we've had to do on this bloody ship.
Scrubbing the space squid feces off the hull in zero-G was pretty bad, though.
Yeah, true.
Oh, and the mess those Vulcans made when Admiral Chester thought it was a good idea to have an inclusion seminar about Vulcan pond farm.
Oh, God, I could smell it under my nails for weeks.
I bet you loved it.
What's that supposed to mean?
Don't you still have those posters of that dead Vulcan all over your bunk?
Well, that makes me sound like a right freak. She isn't dead in the photos.
Yeah, okay, fine. But, what, she must be 400 years old? Tuppole, is it?
You know full well it's Tuppole, and she would probably be closer to 300. Stop being a knobhead. Come on now, it must be your turn. I've been doing this for ages.
It's not my fault there's only one set of holodeck bio-extract resistance PPE available. Take it up with Starfleet shitty logistics. I did my 45 minutes, it's now your 45 minutes.
When I get hold of Stiles, I'm going to fucking kill him. Who shoots a fucking waste canister?
It's Ensign Cartman's fault, really. Reprobate was bloody well getting off swimming in his muck. Oh, hang on, watch out. Floater incoming.
Another one. Ugh, who shits in the fucking holodeck?
Someone does. It looks like half the crew fucks in there, so shitting doesn't seem so far off.
Right, done. Let's get out of here and clean ourselves up. Then fancy a bit of pool?
Yeah, sure. Is that Rao on the floor over there?
Yeah, is he asleep?
He's the pilot. I'd put money on him being drunk.
More than likely. Look there, there's more of them. Why is everyone laying down? What's going on?
Quick, hide.
Hurry up, Gorm. Don't have much time.
All right. You know you could always be the one to carry the transportation matrix.
Gorm. What's Rule 21 of the Rules of Acquisition?
Never place friendship above profit.
Exactly. You're my brother, Gorm. My family. And by association, my friend. But profit calls. And today, it speaks the name Totec.
It's the bloody Ferengi. What are they doing here?
Classic Ferengi plotline. Put the crew to sleep and board and steal stuff. This has been done before. Lazy writing, really.
Really, really lazy.
It's like they're going to engineering.
Here we are, the warp core. The beautiful, beautiful warp core.
Yes. Look at the size of it.
Eyes on the prize, Gorm. Let's just get what we need. The next thing you know, we'll be lying on a bed of latinum while receiving umaks from a dozen Vulcan slave women.
Just the thought of it makes my lobes tingle.
Ferengi really are horny bastards, aren't they?
They really are. Ugly fuckers, too.
Thank you for bringing me along, brother. I know I'm not an easy companion for you. But I really appreciate the gesture. And the whole 10%. Well, it won't be long before I captain my own vessel.
Of course, brother. Now this is the main part. We need to simultaneously remove the coupling holders to access the warp core matrix plasma. Then while you hold the augmented phase adapter coupling at 13.5%, I reach in, grab the anomaly, and we'll be back on Deep Space Nine in Quarks before you know it.
Yes, brother.
On three. One, two, three!
Oh, it's beautiful.
That it is, brother.
What is it?
It's one of a kind, brother. It's a new element. Fertilized dilithium.
Oh, shame we had to share the latinum with that freaky broker. We could have had a bigger cut for ourselves.
Shame indeed, brother.
Brother? What? What is this?
Rule of acquisition number 6, brother. Never let family stand in the way of opportunity. Sorry, Gorm. But business is business. Who's there? I know you're there. Come out!
Shit, he knows we're here.
Balls.
Why aren't you two asleep?
It's midday, mate. It's not bedtime.
I think he might mean, why aren't we asleep like the rest of the crew?
Oh, right. Yeah, that makes sense.
And why do you stink like a Delton fornication palace?
Well, funny story. Really, you see, we had been to see Ensign Sox about a problem we were having.
Yeah, and then all the lights went out.
Well, yes, but not before we had been waist deep in human spunk.
And the poop.
Oh, yeah, the poop. Oh, and the spunk got there because Ensign Cartman shot a barrel.
No, it was Engineer Stiles that shot the container. Cartman was drinking sperm.
Sorry. So Cartman was drinking sperm while Stiles was shooting barrels.
Shut up! Bloody hell, why don't you shut up?
All right, mate, calm down. Calm your lobes.
What are you doing, anyway?
Making profit, Human. You wouldn't understand.
Try me. Rule of acquisition number 194. It's always good business to know about new customers before they walk in your door.
How do you know about the rules of acquisition?
Research for my next horror novel.
Oh, no.
Confessions of a Spice Merchant.
No, no, please, no.
You'll love this one, Tom. Look, this one puts you in the role of Talak, a Ferengi spice merchant on a distant planet on Alpha 3, and...
Shut up!
Yeah, right. Yeah, sorry. You were telling us why you were here?
I'm here for the warp core anomaly.
Ha! Gotcha! High five.
What?
Ha! We made you tell us.
Yep. Classic Ferengi boarding strategy.
Torture them to submission.
Stupid humans. Well, it was great speaking to you idiots, but I'm off.
What about the crew? They're all asleep.
What about them? They'll wake up in an hour or so, and it'll be like I was never here.
Except for the dead Ferengi on the floor in engineering.
Yes, well... Rule 34.
Oh, no, not more porn. Please, God, no. No more porn.
No, go on, let him speak, let him speak.
It's not your pathetic excuse for human pornography, you idiots. Rule 34. War is good for business.
What's happening?
I will not let you take my baby.
Baby?
You shall be purged. Resistance is futile.
Computer? Are you okay?
I am a computer. I have no feelings.
That doesn't sound like you don't have feelings.
I am a computer. I have no feelings.
Well, that doesn't sound even remotely ominous.
Paul?
I am a computer. I have no feelings. I am a computer. I have no feelings. Recording. I have been in charge of the button. And welcome to the rebranding. We are now the Untitled Helldivers 2 Show.
You've got to have the dun 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 dun.
So, welcome to the next 2 hours of us nothing but talk about Helldivers 2. We're not talking about Star Trek ever again. This is a Helldivers 2 podcast.
God damn. I tell you what, I probably could. I have been so addicted to it recently. Every lunch break, that's what I play for the hour.
Yeah.
Just little one-man missions. Just go off, run around on easy, get a few samples, go and kill some bugs. I've been doing the robots, actually, the past couple of days. Mm. Good God, they're evil.
Yeah, they're pretty ropey characters.
I had to go and do one of those Devastator missions. You had to go and find the two Devastators. Yeah. Like, what the fuck are those?
Yeah. Like, everyone, I promise we're not going to always talk about Helldivers on the show.
Promises, promises.
I was going to say, shouldn't these things be going up and down?
Yeah, they are. That's where they go up to normally for us because we've got the gain so low.
Oh, I can't see it from here. From this angle, I can't see the green.
Ah.
No, I'm keeping all this in.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm in charge of the buttons. For the first time, I'm in charge of pressing the record button.
Well, it's only fair. This is your podcast, not my one. My one's the variety
it's
show.
It's our
yours.
Podcast.
And ours is a duo, yes, but this is the one you manage. So it only made sense that you have control of the buttons. Yes. As I make my life easy in the variety show by splitting it into sections.
I don't.
I know you don't.
I just like eating one big chunk in and I just go for it and cut it up.
But that's why my editing's a lot quicker than yours, I think.
Yeah, maybe. But then when we do this, it's too many little bits, if that makes sense. We'll start talking about it and then we won't be. And then we'll start talking about it again.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? We're one set topic here, whereas the variety show is all over the place. So, as the name suggests.
So, slamming my hand down. Why are we here? We're here to talk about Season 2, Episode 9, The Measure of a Man.
We are indeed.
Enter authorization code.
I hope you all did your homework.
I did my homework.
It took me 3 days.
I watched it while I had dinner tonight.
I literally watched the last 20 minutes whilst in bed with tea.
I've watched this episode multiple times, so this was just a refresher for me.
Me as well. I reckon I've probably seen it 3 or 4 times before this.
Yeah.
And it definitely was a refresher.
It's, how can I describe it? It's Law and Order done by Star Trek.
Yeah.
Just without the rape and the child killing and the major crime, I guess. So it's nothing like Law and Order.
They cut all actually. The good bits.
We just get the courtroom bit. Oh, actually, okay. Fine, it's nothing like Law and Order.
It's a lot like House.
Oh, I love
Take
House.
Take all the medicine out.
Oh, should we have a House podcast?
Yeah, House is brilliant.
I love House.
House is really good, actually.
And there you go, there's another little tangent for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, okay, right, let's just go for it. Let's get right, straight in.
The Measure of a Man, what's it about?
Well, I can tell you that it's based on Stardate 42523.7.
And what does that mean?
Fucking who knows?
Because
I've also wrote down the other star date they say later on, which is later on by some random number I think they just chose.
Okay. Yeah. Does it not just count up by hours?
Wait, it counts up, but it's far enough away that I can't tell how many days it's been, if this represents days, hours, minutes, weeks.
I thought it was all meant to kind of take place across 2 days, so...
Well, we'll tell the number and we'll work out the difference in numbers and then you tell me.
Yeah, fair enough.
We will crack this without Googling what star days are.
I was going to say...
We're going to crack it ourselves based on only listening to Star Trek... Oh, sorry, watching Star Trek episodes.
Okay, and that's going to be something out. That's going to fizzle out because neither of us will remember by the end of the episode.
Simon, we need you for this. We have another job for you.
Okay.
Right, okay, what is it about? This horrible bloke called Maddox comes to the ship.
No, I'm going to disagree.
Oh, no, no,
he's not horrible. He might be horrible. A racist and believe in slavery based on what he's going on with this episode. He's just going after his life's work, though, isn't he? That's.
But he's being horrible about it. So, no, they stop at... How it actually happens is they stop at a space station.
Yeah, it's just been built.
All
the plastic wrap still on everything.
Yeah, they get visited by Maddox, and he's actually there because he wants to take Data apart and create other androids, I should say, not robots.
Right, hang on. You're happy to correct yourself over there, but you'll still call it a teleporter, not a transporter.
Well, a teleporter and a transporter aren't sentient, as we'll get into this later on.
Get into it, will we, darling? Oh, yes.
I will always say a teleporter. I even wrote in the script teleporter and I had to change it to transporter because I knew one of the three other people that saw that script would mention it.
Love it.
So, yeah, that's it, basically.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? And it's the, not lawsuit, but the courtroom drama that ensues based on the rights of a piece of property or a person. And that's the whole point of the show. And let's face it, this episode is there to say about racism, slavery, and human rights. That's all this episode's based on. So, yeah. What did you think of it? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I love this episode.
I think it's a really great episode.
It's the only Trekness about it is the fact they're talking about Data. And they just happen to be in space. This could have been anywhere.
That's true. You could have, I don't know if you ever saw it, they did a 90s version of The Outer Limits. It could well have been an Outer Limits episode where a android housekeeper, for example, is facing exactly the same issue. Let's say someone's created him and, the government want the right to disassemble him so they can make more. You could stick it into any sort of show and it would have worked because the storyline is really good.
Yeah. Did you like it?
Oh, I loved it. I loved the episode. There's a few bits I'm not fond of, but overall, I love it as an episode. There's a couple of, if I had a choice or a chance to, a couple of fixes I'd put in, which I think would work better in my opinion, but we'll get to that.
All right, so how does it start? Let's get into it.
Accessing library computer data.
The ship Enterprise arrives at whatever the Starbase. Starbase 173, that's what it is.
Yes, Starbase 173.
And do we see that from the outside straight away?
We open with the poker,
that's right.
I'm never a fan of any of the poker scenes in Star Trek. I don't know why, it just never feels...
Well, we used to go and play poker every Monday night.
Was it Monday night or Thursday night?
Whatever it was.
It doesn't really matter, does it?
But we know what it's like to go on poker nights, and people don't talk like this about hands and all these things.
Well,
it's
difficult, isn't it? Because we went to a poker night that was a large group of people across, what, 6 or 7 poker tables.
But it was always classic Texas Hold'em.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I've written here, I would get pissed off if the game changed every time it moves a dealer.
Yeah,
because they seem to do that a lot. I don't know if that's just an American thing or that's a done thing when you play poker around someone's house, that the dealer gets the choice of how you're going to play that particular game. But for me, I want just one fixed game, fixed set of rules.
Well, she makes it sound really complicated. I didn't have a clue what the rules were when she said it. And we know poker. But when someone starts going on about
Know Texas Hold'em, which is possibly one of the most basic forms of it. So I think that there is more in-depth stuff you can do with poker, and I think that's where they're getting at. It's just I don't like it, and it's always this education piece, and it's always, in fact, I bet if you looked at all of the poker scenes, they're all about Data learning something. It's kind of really forced dialogue to reveal a inadequacy of Data at that point. So in this, he doesn't know how to read someone that's bluffing.
And did you notice who was there?
Let's see. You had Pulaski. You had...
Riker.
Worf, Riker.
LaForge was...
LaForge. And...
And best man at his wedding. O'Brien was there.
Oh, yes, O'Brien's there. You haven't got...
One of the first scenes we've probably ever seen with Data, maybe.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
And they're not even... O'Brien isn't even really being nice to him.
You see, it's normally Troy's at the table playing with them, which I've always thought is, who'd invite her? I wouldn't invite LaForge.
Because you can't
guarantee that he's not cheating, his glasses.
Yeah.
And he does mention in one episode, I always check everyone's hands after the table's finished. So, no, you don't, you cheating bastard. No, I wouldn't have Troy because she's reading your mind.
Yeah.
You can't bluff with her because she's like... And we know she can't turn it off because she's always like, oh, I sense someone's upset here.
Oh, she can fucking turn it off, nosy bitch.
Harsh, but... True. The poker stuff I don't particularly like. I don't know, it just doesn't work for me.
But it does play in with why Riker could be very good at it, because he has to try and hide his emotions constantly from her.
That's true. And all the other birds that he's done around the Enterprise. In fact, to be fair, if he's in... thinking about this as well, just going on about that. If he's in charge of, like, the rotor, he's like, right, done her. Time for a transfer.
Yeah, you're on dust duty today, Patricia.
Oh, I doubt he's ever been with anyone called Patricia.
Right, now we get to, so they do that, and then, Riker bluffs a hand, and
yeah, So yeah, Riker bluffs. Data's like, oh, how did you do that? Even though he had what is a really good hand. So anyone would have gone, you know what? I'll match you. Show me your cards.
Yeah.
With that hand that he had.
Yeah.
So again, just ties in, it just doesn't really work.
Yeah.
But yeah, then we get the outside shot.
Now
of the
we
space
can see the
station.
Wicked starbase.
It does look really cool.
Yeah. You can kind of, I think, as they all go, you can tell it's a model, but it's probably because we know it is. But it still looks quality. Better than what some of the other people are doing in just CGI.
100%.
It looks very good. And there's some great shots later. We'll get to it. But you see in the background, out the window, they really use it. I think they go to the ready room later, and it's there in the background. Just out of a glimpse through the window, and you're just like, yes.
Now, what you've got to remember, though, is what we're watching is the remastered Star Trek. So I'd love to see the original cuts and how much it's different versus what we... Okay, yeah, the model works the same, but I know that they did add extra things in, like when they show planets and stuff, they've all been redone.
Oh, have they? I didn't know that. So we... Picard... I had a little comment about this. Again, Picard has got a stupid-shaped cup.
Yes.
He's got a lot... he's a guy that drinks Earl Grey. I don't think he's going to be drinking it out of that cup.
No.
It's a mug. Good. They got that right. And it has a saucer. Very posh. But why is that tall, skinny thing? Again, what's it did with the,
but it's
unergonomically friendly mugs?
It's the 24th century, 23rd century? I can't remember.
And they haven't realised just a normal handled mug is the perfect reticle for holding liquids. That just annoyed me. And then he's massively flirting.
Oh, my God. So, look.
It was awkwardly flirting.
So, yeah, I've got...
I blushed. That's how bad he was.
There's so much. So before we get to the intro, we've got that bit, which actually, as much as I like the episode, it kind of makes you think there's more of a history behind them and what she knows about Picard. So bear in mind, she's the JAG officer. So she knows all about intelligence and people's previous convictions. And as we know... she had him up on court-martial over the Stargazer, which is normal stuff, normal routine, apparently. But the fact that her words to him were, he says to her, how does he say?
He says, what I would do to you if all these people weren't here.
Yeah.
That's how he starts the conversation.
And she said, I'd imagine you'd like to smash me over the head with a chair. So has he done that before? Why have you immediately gone to brutal smashdown violence? Considering they don't just have nice little wooden chairs. These are big-ass metal, fully formed chairs. That's going to kill someone if you bash that down on someone. So they're kind of suggesting that she thinks Picard is this violent tyrant.
Yeah, and so they go for what I think is extremely gross flirting.
Mm-hmm.
Classic flirt, there's sexual tension here. They want to shag. Then we get the intro, and now they're arguing.
Then you've got the Admiral turns up, doesn't he? I've got here, just bang already. And then you've got Picard, call me. You can fill me in. I've got, you can fill me to the brim more like.
Well, I've got here, did he get embarrassed by her calling him pompous and sexy in front of that Admiral?
Whilst so
5 minutes ago saying that he actually wanted to fuck her.
It's so inappropriate though, isn't it? To do that in front of the Admiral as well.
She does it for the entire episode. She is rude, flirty. She's missing some kind of people skill.
Send her to HR.
HR's
we need to come up with a little sound clip. Kind of like a red card in football. Send them to HR.
Okay, maybe I'll try.
And every time that an HR issue appears in a Star Trek episode, we need to play that.
It'll have to be like a sound clip of Troy saying something. I'll find something maybe.
But
and Wesley's here.
Oh yeah, shut up, Wesley. But I love how everyone that gets on board the Enterprise. I'm really eager to see the Enterprise. Why? There's like a dozen other galaxy classes.
Is it a famous ship, though?
It's just to do with the famous name. And actually, the Admiral that I left this in there because I did it. But later on, he goes, it's so nice to be on the Enterprise. This ship has such a historic kind of past. So obviously, it's talking about the previous Enterprises and everything like that, which is fine. And obviously, that's why it ends up in the museum on Picard.
Yeah.
So,
this is where we obviously meet Commander Bruce Maddox for the first time. Now we're on the ship. Wesley's there. And then we get some awesome music. The first piece of really good dramatic music comes in play when Bruce says about wanting to take Data.
So
we get the really wicked music.
Yeah, the music kicks in, and what I've got here is that perfect 80s sound effect of...
Yeah.
Every time he says something slightly dark...
Yeah, it happens three or four times, I think, in the episode. We get that really loud, too. It's like, boom, comes at you with the music. And then, as I mentioned before, we're now in the ready room, and you can see the space station in the background whilst they're all talking, and I thought that was a really nice touch. Is it the ready room that they're in? It must be.
No, they're on the bridge when it's Maddox, first of all.
Yeah, but they then go into the ready room?
Oh, sorry, yeah, then they go through to... then they go through, and you're right, it's... in the background. It's just really, it's just nice.
Yeah, it's where Maddox starts saying he wants to break Data down.
And I've got, it feels really horrible how they refer to Data as it or this.
Yeah, I've got that too.
And you know, I know it's the idea of the show, but it's just feels wrong.
Yeah, it feels really awkward. But maybe that's because we have watched two seasons worth of Data being awesome. And
we've watched all the future episodes involving Data, and we've seen him in all of the Picard stuff. So we already know, and we kind of have a relationship with Data because we don't know about his future as it is.
What do you call Siri? Do you say she? If you were talking about Siri without saying Siri, would you say she? Sorry for everyone's iPhones going off.
It depends on the voice, actually.
But you'd say she or he.
Yeah, I say she or he based on the voice of Siri.
Now, I don't do that for Google because Google's one doesn't have a name. But Siri, I do say she.
Oh, and the funny enough,
my Siri
the Amazon one.
Yeah,
the Amazon one, which I'm not going to say its name.
Alexa. Alexa, turn off phone.
I take it you don't have an Alexa.
I haven't got one in here.
That's fine. Quite often she gets something wrong, and it's always, oh, you stupid bitch, or you stupid slag. I probably go to town with being really horrible to her when she gets things wrong. So no, I address it by the voice.
And I kind of feel like if androids were walking around, if Elon Musk has his way, I would be calling them gendered kind of pronouns, probably based on what I've called them.
Yes, okay. And the Borg are a good example, aren't they? 7 of 9. There's no gender specified, and there's no specifying of gender within the whole Borg network. So you do refer to them as it or they. And in fact, all the episodes do. The Borg are coming. They're here. They attacked us.
But then you would say that if it was a whole fleet of Amazonian women.
No, but even when there's been a single Borg on board, when they've got Hugh, for example, from the episode I, Hugh. It's referred to as it by Beverly. It's referred to as a Borg drone. It attacked me. It's going to attack you. It's never...
Is that also just because coming from a place of hatred for them that they don't want to acknowledge them as being a being anyway?
Oh, possibly. Yeah, that could be.
So they're not saying Hugh is a he.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, that makes... Yeah, that could be.
Maybe.
But yeah, I get out of this, going back to the episode, basically Maddox wants to chop Data up to get the answers he can't work out.
Yeah.
So he has shortcomings. He's not as good as Dr. Sung, who built Data. So he's decided the easiest way to do this is, rather than just continuing my work and trying to work it out, is take the one thing we have, the one really precious, expensive thing that we can't recreate, and just chop it up and hope I can put it back together later, which there is absolutely no guarantee for.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just think that's a ridiculous, even as the premise of the show, just to keep it moving, it's a ridiculous premise.
Mm.
It's just like if you had a really expensive computer at home and you were building another one to kind of copy it, you wouldn't just have one computer you would take to bits to go, oh, so that's how they did it. You'd buy several of them. So if one broke or you screwed something up, you've still got others you can go back to and reference.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just, it's terrible. You just can't do that.
Yeah. And that's kind of really what this whole bit is about. Data is like saying he's not going to submit to the procedure.
So then the order comes in saying, well, I thought that might happen. So here's your transfer notice. I'll see you in my office tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the sexy, they kind of do a great external shot again, don't they? And then we're back to the sexy, argumentative lady who's being a bit of a twat, I reckon.
Yeah, and I've kind of got here a couple of bits about this. Okay, so the argument that she comes up with saying, well, is he property, basically?
Yeah.
So you need to determine that, or I need to go away and think about this, because if he's property, then there's something that we can, that legally could be challenged. If he's considered not property, then fine. It's a non-argument again. And again, don't forget, I like this episode, but we do like picking holes in it. And I've got here, so an order is placed to transfer the officer, yet the argument is he is a device. So actually, does that mean it shouldn't be a crew order? It should be a requisition.
This is making me think of new things too. So, yeah, absolutely.
Should it be
right.
a requisition? Secondly, if he is just a device, how many years service does a space hoover on the Enterprise wait to get medals and a rank?
Yep.
And she says he can resign, however. So what, are they going to let like the ship computer resign? They're going to let the hoovers on board resign? The toasters, yeah.
I feel like as soon as they've put him in uniform and given him a rank, they've identified him as a being.
As soon as they've identified him as a being by saying, here's a rank, you've got a name, so we'll call you by your name.
The medals of valor.
Here's some
received.
Medals. Yeah. You don't give a medal to all of the little drones that they use, do you? All the bloody, as I said, like all the space vacuum cleaners don't have a medal for all the work they bloody well do. And
yeah, the replicator made a great cup of coffee this morning. It's give it a purple heart.
Exactly. Yeah. It survived the Romulan invasion of this planet, so it got a medal like everyone else did. You just don't do that. And as soon as those are in place, you can't be arguing that maybe he's a piece of property then, because you wouldn't address these things to property. And I think if that's the only thing that this episode falls down on, is that that's a good thing. And that is what it does fall down on.
It's interesting.
The argument doesn't stand straight off, because you wouldn't allocate them medals and things like that. And in fact, I would have chopped the episode around. This isn't the bit, this is just me literally off the cuff thinking this. I wouldn't have this bit where Picard storms in going, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I would have had him just storm in and say, convene a case because this isn't happening, and storm off. None of this whole rubbish of her going, well, I need to really think about if he's property or not property. No, you deal with that in the court case itself. Yeah. You bring it up then. So you've got, like, as we find out, Riker fighting against Data, and then you could have Picard literally not spend 5 minutes of listening to Riker and then go, shit, I need a recess. He could actually stand up and say, you are, you're not a piece of property. You are a person, and here are things that Starfleet has done that we would only address to people. We wouldn't address it to the replicator, the vacuum cleaners.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is probably the one little bit that it kind of falls down on, is that whole argument. And it ties in as well with the fact that Picard goes, Data says, oh, Mr. Maddox was the only person that was against me being granted entry to Starfleet.
Yeah.
So actually for Maddox, he's always seen him as a device. Yeah. So for Maddox, it's fine because he genuinely believes that from day one. But for everyone else, it's been accepted. So
yeah, I think
you've got no stance.
I think as soon as they entered into Starfleet, that is the moment where you've basically said Data is not just a piece of equipment.
Yeah.
That's it.
And Maddox was overruled. He was granted access to the Federation and given a role, so
that should have been the end of it.
That's the end of it.
Yeah. I never picked up on that. I'm glad you brought that, because I actually didn't pick up on that even slightly. And you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So yeah, anyway, and then I've got, God, they just need to fuck, because the energy between them.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's just shut up, woman. You just shag, get all this tension out of the way.
Oh, him as well. I'm not putting it solely on her.
He is horrible to her.
He's throwing his cock about like anyone in there. Going, oh, come on, you know you want it, but you're a bitch.
Yeah, he is Picarding it up.
I think he may be one of these horrible blokes that believes in treat them mean to keep them keen.
Yeah, maybe. So they get over that. They have the arguments, and now we're back to seeing. It's quite a bit sad, really. Data's collecting all this stuff, isn't he?
Oh, it's really, really sad, but I've got to say, It's a really impractical suitcase he's got.
Yeah.
Just this blue cylinder that holds nothing, really. Yeah, holds
pretty much nothing. And he's kind of just grabbing stuff, and he has the hologram of her name escapes me.
Oh, God, it's just literally jumped out of my brain.
I've got it written down later on, actually. Let me just screw all the way down here. Because it comes up later on. Tasha.
Oh, Tasha Yar, that's it. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, so he's got his hologram of Tasha because they were the closest of friends in more way than one, which is fair enough. It's understandable, but I bring that up later as well. But yeah, it's just a bit sad, isn't it? And I really, I've got to say, the actor that portrays Maddox, not only has the character been written really well for, but the actor really does a good job at making you hate him.
Yeah.
He's just, oh. Just
well, even him just coming into his room without being asked and just going through his stuff.
Exactly.
I was like, oh, what a breach of kind of like, just his privacy.
But again, he doesn't respect data in the way everyone else does.
And he's fits perfectly.
It's a device. I don't need to ask permission of a device.
Is he ever in an episode again after this, that character?
Is it not Maddox in... No, you know what? I don't know if Maddox turns up
because it'd be
again.
A good touch, based on how it ends, if he come back and was actually totally different to Data, you know, and being more respectful and just been like, oh, look, you know, and actually following on. We can get to that at the end because that's done the thing a bit about the end. But yeah, my note here was, oh, I hate him. And then we end up back in the bloody bitch's office again. So I've wrote nothing but horrible things about her.
So we're just back in there, aren't we? Yet again.
Yeah, and just the way she talks, she just wants everyone in the room to know that she's shagged Picard. That's just the impression I get. It's all just little quips and all these little things. And, you know, she says about, like, you know, Data can't, you know... She's comparing him to the AI the computer on the ship, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. Sorry. Using good old memory alpha here. He does turn up again.
Yeah.
But not in the Next Generation.
Oh, what does he turn up in?
In Picard. He's the one that, what's-her-face, kills on behalf of Commander O by Starfleet in the first season.
Oh.
I can't think of her name now. Jurati.
Oh,
you know,
right.
The blonde one. She beams him into the ship's hollow, into the ship's med bay, doesn't she?
Yeah, no, you're right.
And she kills him.
Yeah. Oh.
So, yeah, he turns up for 3 episodes there, which makes sense because it's a very data-centric series, Picard.
So the point she's making is about, you know, if the Enterprise computer said it didn't want to be retrofitted, you know, what would you do then? Because that's owned by Starfleet.
Yeah, 100%. And that's fine. They haven't given the Enterprise computer a name or medals.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the ability to go to 10 forward and have a drink with Guinan, or go to the holodeck and go and pretend to be Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
The computer is a computer. It's built into the ship. Mm. I consider the computer as the ship.
Yeah.
You can't have one without the other, for example.
Yeah.
Whereas Data, you can have the Enterprise without Data, or you can have the Enterprise with Data.
Mm.
That's how I look at it. And then, yeah, you've got Picard saying, you can't just choose to ignore rules. Pot kettle there, Picard.
Yeah, I know, right?
How
yeah.
many times across the entire 7 seasons do we get you breaking rules non-stop?
So, again, he's kind of having like an almost going away party now, isn't he? Because he's kind of resigned to the fact that this is going to be happening. And LaForge is just like moping in the corner.
Yeah, so I want you to add into here, shut up, Wesley. Just because
you've got Wesley at the beginning. Yeah.
Daisy, you're not unwrapping it properly. He can unwrap it however he bloody well wants. For all you know, dickhead, he's going to be chopped up into little bits and never see him again. If he wants to unwrap it so it can be used again, let him.
So sometimes I unwrap presents like that. I don't always just tear them apart. Well, I don't plan to use the paper again, but sometimes it's nice just to kind of unfold it neatly and
it's
a way of doing it.
A little dick 13-year-old who's really excited about getting presents still. He's taking his time to see what the surprise is.
Yeah.
But yeah, then we've got poor Geordi.
But notice who isn't present at this party.
Troy again.
Troy again, but Best Man O'Brien hasn't come to the going away party.
True. I you know what? That is still the bizarrest storyline in any Star Trek. Data just turning out to be best mates with O'Brien and having to like fix his wedding on the wedding day and be the best man. It's just weird.
They clearly did that episode just for the comical value of it being Data.
It's an awful episode.
I don't know if I've actually seen it.
Oh, well, you'll have to watch it. We won't add it to the list, but you'll have to watch it at some point.
The list is big enough. Yeah, so LaForge is just moping around like it's all about him. Shut up, LaForge.
Yep, and then we're back to...
We're in the room again, because
we're
now...
in the room again, and she says, he's a toaster.
Yeah.
Basically, because Riker says, I'm not going to do this. But yeah, sorry, we jump a little bit. Riker gets told, as we've got a bare-bone team here, your first officer will have to be the opposition
prosecution,
council.
Yeah.
Which, no, all you say is, okay, well, we'll have to delay everything and we'll get someone in.
Mm.
Why does it have to be that minute, that day it's happening?
Yeah.
Just because Maddox wants to get on with it tomorrow, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If there's a legal challenge, it doesn't immediately happen the next day, does it? People have the chance to go away and study, work out their argument, and then it's brought to a court service later on,
yeah,
not the next bloody day. You get told, oh, we'll just have some random people fight it. Your best mate, he's against you now.
And we get dramatic music again.
We do get dramatic music again. But yeah, then she calls him basically a toaster when
Riker
refuses.
Straight up calls him a toaster, yeah.
And this is the bit, actually, I would say... I would change. This is the bit I really, really would change. It would be, for me, I would say the woman should have said, Captain whatever her name is, should say to Picard, not Picard, like his kid says,
yeah.
Picard, says to him, you need to choose one of your officers, not your first, you need to choose one of your officers and they will be acting as opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have had Data go, well, the only person that has proven themselves as even vaguely similar to Maddox would be Pulaski at this point.
Yeah.
Because we get the whole build-up of Pulaski being on the Enterprise and her whinging and moaning that, oh, yes, I forget I need to refer to you as a person. And everyone else is like, oh, you're such a bitch. He's a person.
Yeah.
So I would have straight up gone, well, she's your medical officer. So she's perfectly qualified to do this because apparently anyone can be if they're an officer. And she's the only person on the ship that's basically been not really against Data, but has held disbelief that he is a person.
Yeah.
So why not have, you could have put her in and that would have been way more believable, because all I get then is if we go to the next bit where they're in the courtroom, don't we?
Well, no, we see Picard tells Data to represent him.
Sorry,
and then
yes,
we
you're
get
right.
Some weird room that Riker's in,
so yeah,
with
Riker's,
these ancient-looking computers.
Yeah, so Riker's in this random room, and he asks the computer to display the schematic of Data, and lo and behold, the one key part of his argument is already labelled on the screen ready for him.
I didn't notice it, because I was looking on a really small phone screen, so I missed...
So the schematic comes up,
and it's a skeleton.
And the big label on it is... manual override switch right in his middle of his back.
Oh, yeah,
it's
of
like,
course. Yeah.
Seriously.
Sorry. Yeah,
when
I
you bring
see
up schematic, it always shows you the manual override switch, does it?
Yeah.
But then he's almost gleeful, rubbing his hands. He's like, that's my argument.
But then he honestly instantly goes sad again.
Yeah.
You see him with a big grin and then go, oh, shit. Yeah, I'm not supposed to be winning this.
Yeah, but I kind of, throughout the entire bit with Riker, I get the point. He's a little too happy about it.
Could you not say that the Vulcans can manual override humans with their death grip?
Well, we all have a manual override button. It's called a gun to your head.
Yeah. And I always call it a death grip. What is it actually called? Nerve pinch?
The Vulcan nerve pinch, I believe.
People must have
called.
Noticed by now every time I've called it the death grip.
Oh, it's a death grip.
Although, is it called that in something, though?
What did you do?
I was unprepared for his attack. I instinctively used... the Vulcan death grip.
But I know that I think there's a different way of doing it. One way puts them to sleep, one way regresses them and kills them. I don't know. There's a lot behind it.
We get another star date.
Okay, and
we're in the courtroom, we get a star date 42527.4.
And what was the first one?
42523.7.
So quite a lot of numbers have changed.
There's quite a few numbers have changed there. Someone want to do the maths? I haven't got my calculator
here. Do you think that's a goof?
It's just more credence to them making this shit up. I mean, how many days has it been? Okay,
but if it's been like a long number of days then, why have they not got someone else in to do the opposition?
Yeah exactly.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
This is where they start introducing data, and he puts his hand on that machine and a different computer voice comes out of it, a male computer voice, which I thought was weird.
So I think, and I'm sure people will correct me, that is the same voice that was used, or a similar voice that was used in the what was called the first episode of Star Trek, the original series.
Right.
When they're basically asking why were they stealing the Enterprise to take Captain Pike to a planet, and Captain Pike's, I think it's Pike, is in the black wheelchair with a red flashing light, and all he can do is beep, beep, beep.
Right.
And that's a male voice, and it sounded really, really similar.
3.7 is the difference in those two star dates.
Oh, okay. So
is it 3.7 days?
It could be. It could be.
Right, so where are we? Yeah, so this is where we list all the medals.
Yeah, so Riker tries to skip it, and Picard overrules it and goes, "I know, we want to hear this."
Yeah, and this is where, I'm not making light of PTSD, but I had a bit of a moment because they say automaton. And I was like, oh my God, Helldivers. Yeah, okay, so they then ask Data about his brain. Now, I give a little quiz for you here, because I wrote the numbers down. How many bits of data, of memory, has he got? There's two questions here. How many bits of memory has he got?
2 trillion or something like
800
that?
800 quadrillion bits of data is what he can store.
Bloody hell.
Now, how many operations per second did he say he could do?
2 trillion?
60 trillion.
60 trillion. I knew there was a trillion
operations
in there.
Per second, yeah. So 800 quadrillion bits of storage with 60 trillion operations a second.
Jesus.
That's what he says. And then he bends a rod.
And I bet he still can't run Crisis.
Yeah. But does he run Crisis?
But he can play Doom.
Yeah, he can definitely play Doom on his fingernail. It's got like a little, one of those like Kindle screens on his fingernail, and it just does Doom. What are they called? Ink displays or something. Ink.
Yeah. Love it.
Hey, take his bloody hand off. Well, actually, his whole forearm comes off.
Exactly. I've got that here. I said, you said hand, Riker, not his forearm, wanker.
Yeah, for season two, I was like, you said hand, mate. Come on. That's all of it.
But hang on. So before that, they do the manual override switch.
No, they haven't done that yet. They do that when his arm's off. His arm comes off, and then they start, and then they turn him off and start calling him Pinocchio.
Oh, that's it. And that's when Picard says,
your Pinocchio, whatever, yeah.
Picard says, I need a recess after literally 5 minutes of the case going on. It's all already, oh no. But yeah, I've got manual override switch, yes, but also fully functional penis.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
So, and I love the fact that the Webster Dictionary is still going.
Yeah, I did think that.
24th century Webster Dictionary defines me as.
Yeah. And then we're in Guinan's bar. Whatever it is.
Yeah. And during the recess, I've got Guinan immediately bringing in, does slavery not ring a bell to you? Well, it's rung a bell to everyone else watching the episode. So Picard, you should have picked up on this.
Yeah,
one.
Everyone else understands this really not very good or well hidden. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. That's fine. But yeah, he literally goes for a booze up with Guinan in his recess rather than actually going to speak to Data, which would have probably been a good idea.
Yeah.
And then they come back in and
they start talking about robot sex.
Yeah, so one of their arguments is that he's a robot made by humans. And I've got here, well, hang on, aren't we all made by other humans?
They bring that up, though, doesn't he? He does eventually get to that point, I think, because it does say, like, you know, am I or are we not created by our parents? You know, technically we're created by humans, which is exactly what I thought. As soon as they said it, I was like, yeah, well, so are we.
Exactly.
That's a stupid thing to say. That's not an argument, is it? He shows his medals, the gifts that people have given him.
Then they show the hologram again, and it's like, don't worry, I think Tasha would accept you saying, we were intimate, and everyone's face is just like,
Well, I mean, that Maddox is probably like, Well, yeah, it's a sex doll. That's probably from his perspective. He was probably the least shocked. He's probably all of them.
He's looking forward to it.
Yeah, I touch my toaster up all the time. What's wrong with me? I don't understand.
It's got a long slot.
Yeah, as long as you unplug it and it's got a long slot. Yeah, exactly. Clear out the debris tray after every use. What's the problem?
But I would say this is the most powerful performance in the episode. Patrick Stewart really, really, he doesn't ham it up. You genuinely feel like he has cause and emotion for this argument he's giving about Data being allowed to live because he is a person.
It's quite a long take too.
It's a very long take.
Yeah, I don't remember there being any cuts or kind of angle changes to imply they redid it at all. It seems to go on for a long, almost like a monologue long.
Mm.
You can tell he's a Shakespearean actor, can't you? He does a great job.
Now I've got a question for you.
Go on.
EMH.
I thought about this earlier. Well, that was what I was going to bring up and
they
forgot about it.
They hold a rank?
Yeah.
Do they get medals? We don't know.
I don't know.
But I'd assume they would. Voyager's EMH, I bet you got medals. They all got medals. I mean, Dirty Kim probably finally got a promotion, but I bet they all got medals. So, in theory, he deserves a medal. So, how would they argue that? Because, again, Picard basically says, if we create a race of these androids, we are just going to be putting them into slavery.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we've done with the EMH, and we've actually made it worse by saying, you're also confined to this room. People can turn you on and off as you want to.
Yeah.
But we see in at least Voyager and we see in First Contact that there is a modicum, or not more of a modicum, of self-awareness because they're aware of what's going on and they have to be able to work out what's going on and what they need to do and how they can then solve problems that they're isn't already something in the textbooks.
Now, is it because Data was specifically designed to be self-aware and that was built into him to learn in that way, whereas the EMH was only ever meant to be a temporary thing turned on and off, but was designed in a way to have all this knowledge. And just because Voyager kept him on all the time, he started to learn like an algorithm learning things. And it just developed into a consciousness from just experiences.
I don't know, because it's the first series. He's always moaning about people don't turn me off or people just turn me off when I'm mid-sentence. If at that point he hadn't determined what consciousness was, he wouldn't be moaning about it. He'd just be, oh, I'm turned off, am I? Oh, I'm turned on again. Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I do like it when he moans about being left on.
This is the emergency holographic doctor speaking. I gave no permission for anyone to be transported out of sickbay. Hello? Sickbay to bridge? I believe someone has failed to terminate my program. Please respond.
It just seems that there's more consciousness there than maybe was designed to, but then do you consider the EMH as just an extension of the computer on the ship?
Yeah.
Because it's part of the same computer, isn't it? It's part of the same device, I guess. If you blow up the ship, you blow up the EMH.
Mm. And Picard says a good line. We get some really good dramatic music again.
Yeah.
And then he says, you know, quoting from the intro about searching for new life. Well, there it is. We found it. Data is new life.
Yeah, Data was like really day good. One of the next generation. We found new life and he's done
here.
All this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's and then we kind of get to the end, which is there's just it was never going to be a hard option for the judge or captain, whatever her name is. It was always going to be Data is a person. He has the right to do what he wants.
Yeah.
And I do like how Data goes, I bear no kind of ill will toward you, Maddox. I hope your research helps you, and I will help you as I can.
And he calls him him.
He does, yeah. And,
which is a nice touch.
But out of place, in my opinion, because I don't think enough growth has been shown for Maddox in those court scenes for you to accept that within 45 minutes of an episode, okay, number of days, whatever, for him to have grown as a person to accept that.
It was
maybe as a stutter, you know, as a, oh, it or they, oh, sorry, I mean him.
Yeah.
I would have accepted more than him just straight up saying him.
what did I say? It was 3.7 star dates or something.
3.7 star dates.
Yeah. And then I think you're right. Yeah, probably. I thought it was a nice touch for the episode, but I think you're right. I think he probably would actually storm off. Do you reckon? Do you think he'd go, oh, and just
based
storm off?
Based on what we've seen of him, yeah, I would have expected him just to storm off, lose his shit, pull out a phaser and try to kill Data and say, well, no, now he's in pieces, so I've got what I want and I'll work on him.
Yeah.
Something weird like that. But I would have expected him not to be as chilled out and, oh, okay, that's fine.
And we get a private moment between these two idiots again, don't we? Picard and the weird woman.
Yeah.
And he offers her dinner. And then she's like really overly flirty. And I've just wrote here, I would not want to be a fly in the wall for dessert.
Like, there's like, going to be lots of cream pies.
It would look like a Klingon mating ritual. They'd be so aggressive, wouldn't it? You are absolutely horrible.
That's terrible. That is absolutely terrible.
That is how the Klingon lures a mate.
And you know what? We've got to stop just calling. Oh, Troy is on that episode.
When? The dog's drinking again, for all those that remember last time.
Oh, yeah. You know what? This is the one thing I really, really hate about...
I don't think Troy's in the episode at all.
I didn't think she was, but she's labelled as being part of this episode. Right.
Oh, she's on the bridge.
She is JAG Captain Philippa Lavoie.
JAG Captain... So is JAG the...
JAG is an old school... thing. There used to even be a TV show called JAG before kind of NCS, and it's to do with kind of naval crimes.
Right, okay.
I'm pretty sure it's naval crimes, or is it Air Force?
So she's the Jack Reacher. She's like a Jack Reacher, because he's like an army policeman, isn't he? Like a sorting out.
Yeah, I guess
so. She's the Jack Reacher. She doesn't know. She's nowhere near as attractive as him.
There you go. Look, JAG is an American legal drama television series with a US Navy theme.
Right.
Created by Donald P. Belisario, and I'm pretty sure he's the one that went and created NCIS.
Well, it's more ammunition for when I say about it being, you know, a Navy kind of feel to it. And the same with the tannoy noise, the boo.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a submarine noise.
I think Gene Roddenberry always aimed for it to be based on naval sort of things. And sorry, it stands for the Judge Advocate General.
Okay, yeah. And then we get Riker. I think this is a good scene, actually, because Riker is like, I don't feel like I can go to this kind of congratulation party.
Yeah.
And that, I feel like I'd probably be the same. I'd feel really bad about it. But Data comes and finds him and says, you know, there's a party happening, and does a nice thing, and then you get a great smile from Riker, and then it ends.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want to be in his boots, let's face it.
Mm.
You wouldn't want to be the person that's having to basically defend a lunatic who wants to cut up your friend, but... if you're ordered to, you're ordered to. And he says about, I nearly did too good a job.
Yeah.
And I think that's the bit, isn't it? Realising that actually I did so well I could have had my friend destroyed. It would leave you feeling really shitty. So I'm glad they kept that in as a scene.
Yeah.
Now, very quickly looking at IMDb, at the trivia as we like doing... apparently, the first cut of this episode ran for an entire 13 minutes longer.
Oh, what did they cut?
Well, they didn't cut the poker, did they?
Arguably the scene they could have cut.
So, author Melinda M. Snodgrass had a video cassette of that version, which was used as reference to reconstruct the episode with new special effects and had a new transfer of the additional footage. The new HD reconstruction is included in the 2012 Blu-ray of Season 2. So there is an extended cut of that episode, which I'd
like
be really intrigued to see, because I do wonder, it feels so quick that, if it's not even 5 minutes, is it? Riker basically... slamming down kind of his arguments of Data not being a person but a device. And then we've got Picard saying straight to recess. I do wonder if there's a chunk of that missing.
Yeah.
Which would make sense.
Yeah.
As it to me, it felt short. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think the court scene could have been basically the entire episode. They could have got to it quite quickly and just gone with it. Kind of how they do the court scene in... The Strange New Worlds. It's very long, the court scene. Some good arguments going on in the court scene. Well, a lot longer than this one.
Yeah. Oh, okay. This is the first episode to feature the poker game.
Oh, it's the first
it's
of
the first
of many.
One of them. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So that's it.
Super solid episode. I still love it, even with its holes that we've kind of picked in it. As I say, I would have liked to see Pulaski as maybe the opponent officer, mm-hmm. but that would be the only change I would make. Big change, anyway.
Yeah, I just wanted more court scene.
Yeah, I would have preferred a bit more court scene and less poker. While Picard is poking her.
Yeah.
Got to throw it in there.
Command functions are offline.
So, thank you everybody for listening to another episode. I've got some thank yous to make. I'm really hoping I did manage to get the shit show short put in, else I'll be cutting this. But you heard the likes of Styles from, he's the editor over the Ipana Cthulhu podcast, as Ferengi Toltec. However, I made the name up and I don't know how you're supposed to say it. We've got Simon playing Ensign Sox, as well as mystery future character. He will be returning. We've got, obviously, Adam Court, who's been in quite a few. And we've got, for those of you that watched all the time, I'm such an idiot, listened to the Three Dads, One Pod, we have Telf as the captain.
Yep.
Briefly. So, and thank you, Tom, for playing the other Ferengi.
Yes,
like last minute, because I couldn't think of a voice to do, so you took that for us.
No, that's fine. I enjoyed it, bud. But no.
Sorry, I hope you liked it. It was longer than any we've done.
Mate,
so
the shit show
it.
Stuff has been absolutely brilliant. And as Karen said, she'd like it as its own bloody show. And I just don't think we've got the energy or time to start yet another thing.
No. Yeah, unless it ended up being like some kind of alternating of being Trek and then a shit show and then a Trek, then a shit show. So it'd be one a month. But I don't know. So next time, a fortnight from now, I nearly said next week, I stopped myself.
Well done.
We're not going to be talking about an episode. We've got sent some questions and we're going to, I'll put a tweet out every now and again asking for more. And I think we're just going to just some...
Yeah, we're going to make it a bit more interesting. So we, again, listening to the feedback, a lot of people enjoy the episodic episodes we're doing, but that can also feel a bit dry. And I think even both of us are finding it a little bit dry every now and then. So what we want to do is maybe two episodes will be following an episode, and then the third episode of every batch will be something random. It will still be Star Trek, but it will be something like answering questions people have sent in, Neelix's cookbook, which I'll try and do something for the next episode as well. So we've got that and the questions. But it's just about making it a bit more...
Well, yeah. We really loved the holodeck episode we did, didn't we? Something like that. More things like that where we just talk about one
specific
thing.
Where we deep dive something specific about Star Trek as well. Absolutely.
So if you want to follow specifically Trek on Twitter, which is me doing it, so you're kind of talking to me, but it's the @_untitledtrek on Twitter. Following the main show and you, it's @channel84.
That's
Twitter.
Correct.
Email us on our main email is podcast@channel84.co.uk, and it's Tom or Rob
at
the beginning.
We're otherwise.
On everything. We're on Blue Sky. We're on. Are we on Mastodon?
I am on Mastodon, but I haven't logged onto it for a long, long time.
Threads, I never log in and check it, so don't message me in there because I just don't look at it. We are on Instagram. Our massive fan base on Facebook. Hello there.
long
suffering fans over on Facebook.
We will address that at some point. But basically, find any of our social media over on channel84.co.uk, where you can easily get the links, as well as channel84.co.uk/Discord to come and talk to us on the Discord server.
Yes, and please, if you want to join in with the shit show, just message me on Twitter. That's probably the easiest place. Twitter or join the Discord or speak to me there.
Or email.
Email actually is probably the quickest way because it'll notify me. All the others I don't have notifications on. So yeah,
nice.
It's an email to me or to Tom or to podcasts. If you want to join in or you have an idea or even if you have a script like the APOC guys did.
Yep. All you need is a mic or a piece of paper and we'll happily listen.
Wicked.
Take it easy.
Love you.
Live long and prosper.
Thank you for listening to the Channel 84 Untitled Trek Show. This station is now shutting down and will be back in 2 weeks. Excelsior.
Come.
You ask to see me, Captain?
Take a seat, Ensign. We need to have a little chat.
Shit.
Accessing USS Shitshow crew member log files. Please select required crew member. Selection not available. Data corruption present. Beginning playback of last known backup.
What are you doing transporting Simbo Giant? Fuck up number two. Said I wouldn't fuck that up. That shit was you! You fucking idiots. What are you doing transporting Simbo... Simbo? That shit was you! Fucking idiots. What are you doing transporting symbiogenetic alien orchids around? Yeah!
Symbioalien just...
What are you doing transporting symbiogenetic alien orchids around? Mentally disabled or something?
Yeah! Symbiogenetic alien orchid, symbiogenetic alien orchid, symbiogenetic alien orchid, symbiogenetic alien orchid.
Symbiogenic alien orchids.
These aren't any orchids. These are symbiogenetic alien orchids.
Symbiogenetic alien orchids.
Symbiogenetic alien orchids.
Symbiogenetic and... Oh, fuck's sake, about this shit.
Symbiogenetic alien orchid.
Yeah! Symbiogenetic alien orchid. I thought if I try and catch myself unawares, I might fuck it up.
Sorry, dude.
These are symbiogenetic alien orchids.